It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
I'm concerned right now. Holy crap. Let me tell you what I just saw. You know, some people got a pair. You know, they used to call me titanium testicles back in, you know, in the day when I used to do. But I, man, some of these guys, they give me run for the money because, I mean, dang. All right, let me tell you what happened. I go through Freedom's Phoenix. A lot of people contribute different things. And one of the authors, writers, is Camera Fraud. Now I can go and find who it is. One of the guys from Camera Fraud. I don't even know. And they're the ones that are doing the initiative against photo radar here. Well, so it says, breaking Red Flex photo van tarred and feathered in Phoenix. And you watched the video. I guess it was it's an SUV, a white SUV, has all the cameras and everything, and then they go in with masks and stuff. And I guess that there wasn't anybody in it. You know, a lot of these, they just sit there on automatic and just leave it, you know. And so, which and I think that has some other thing. Is that legal? Does it have to have somebody there monitoring you? Yeah, that's a whole other issue. But anyway, so they go up, and this is what you see. It's at night. It's dark. And they're wearing their hooded whatever, masks and stuff, and they take buckets. They look like about 2-3 gallon buckets, the small like pails full of tar, and they just threw it all over. I don't know, it might be molasses for all I know, but it just is, you know, black tar stuff, throw it on the back, you know, over the window so the cameras can see. They throw it on the side. They put it on everywhere. Then they go up with feather-filled pillows and just throw all these feathers on. So they tarred and feathered the photo radar vans. I'm like, somebody is getting in trouble. And who put the video up? You know, where'd you get this, young man? Hey, there's no way they're going to let this one go by. And even though you just rinse it off or something. See, that was another thing that we found. When you go up and you disable one of these cameras or you damage it or something like that, oh, you know, that's criminal something. I mean, you know, damage, you messed up somebody's stuff. Well, there was guys that, for whatever reason, it just keeps escalating. There's something happening to one every now and then. Well, one of the first ones, the guy took a pickaxe to it. It was near his house or whatever. You know, it was just some guy. Nobody knew who it was. And he just took this pickaxe and he just beat the living snot out of this thing. Well, they were able to find him. I guess they got enough photos or something of him. Anyway, so he goes and he had to pay. They kind of made it go away for a couple $1,000 to pay the thing. And we just let it go away. They didn't want to drag this out to trial. So they just said, you know, pay this and you're done. Another guy went and started. He was mad, and he's just a good old boy. He's, I think he was in his 70s or something. He came back with a 45 and just started shooting the van. Well, he thought it was like this one. It was unmanned. There was someone in there, and it killed him. So this was like, oh, it's like them trying to put Alex Jones on CNN saying, oh, your hate speech is causing all this militia. It's all your fault kind of thing. Did they ever think that maybe government action had a little bit to do with this? You know, so this is that. I'm not sure what happened with that. He was convicted and went off and nobody claimed ownership of him. I mean, you know, he's just a guy. This is just mine canaries. You know, this stuff happens. You go making the whole 300-something million people mad, you know, crap like this happens. So this was they tried to blame the camera fraud guys doing their initiative for this and so on. Then, of course, they turned it right back and said, no, it's you. And they went on, you know, DPS kills people and they do, you know, yada, yada, yada. So they really came up against some organized activists and it wasn't going their way. So they finally just let that one drop. Well, this one. Oh, well, what we found out was is that by making it to where it can't see or take the pictures is not damage. Okay, it's like writing on sidewalks. There was not a law for them putting sticky notes up. You know, these little 3M square, you know, the like 3-inch square sticky notes that you just put a few of them on the front of the camera. You know, eventually they'll fall off or you can just take them off and it can't take a picture, but it wasn't vandalism. It wasn't a crime. It was legal. What they get you for is, you know, going on the side of the freeway and going up there and doing it. But, you know, actually putting the notes up there was not a crime. So what'd they do? They started putting in additional cameras to keep surveillance on the cameras. And the first one went in right by my house. I always get blamed for everything. They had, during last Christmas, they had Santa suits, guys in Santa suits. There was like a half a dozen people went out and they put big presents over the cameras. You know, it's like that was your birthday present or your Christmas present is not having these cameras taking pictures. So that became funny and everybody thought that I did that. You know, I didn't even know what the heck they were talking about until I finally started seeing the YouTubes. Well, then, you know, Easter, you'll have Easter bunnies going out and putting paper mache eggs on them, and you'll do it. I mean, they're just having fun and making a point. That's better than Great Britain years ago when they first started putting all these cameras in Great Britain. They would take and cut, you know, a slice of tire and wrap it around these, and they put like three tires on these, light them, and you don't put those out once they get going, and it just totally destroy the cameras. So that is yet to happen that I know of, I mean, other than pickaxes and so on. So as an act of civil disobedience, they go and do this tar and feathering thing. Well, what if it's not really tar? What if it's you know, molasses or something, sticky something. Well, they just hose it off. Is that a crime? Maybe not. I don't know. But there's in the picture they have up here that they put up, it says, I has a secret. I'm not a real government vehicle. They say DPS on it, Highway Patrol, and all that kind of stuff. But the license plate is not a government license plate. It's really a private company that they allow to put these stickers on and so on to give it kind of an official feel. It's really just Red Flex vans. They belong to them privately. So this is, you know, how is this going to work out? I have no idea. I just saw that. I'm like, oh, that's, I hadn't even finished it yet. Here, let me go ahead and finish it. And see, they go, they show, yeah, it's all tarred and feathered. They're walking around. They're doing so on, done. Okay. Okay. This, you know, okay. Well, we'll find out more about it. I'll get camera fraud on here. Maybe in the break, I'll try and call them and, you know, tell them, how the heck did this come up? Also, we have mybillofrights.org. I went ahead and linked that video to today's archive so that you can see that, because that's an interesting story. There's a lot behind that, though. All the games that are played, you know, well, we can't have a bipartisan or any Democrats. And this was the hardest, most right wing legislator and the most left wing. I mean, it was done that way intentionally. Went to both of them. They said, sure. But heck no, not the machine. Oh, no, 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 so not allowed. We're not showing cooperation even on the Bill of Rights kind of thing. They don't get it. They're so small-minded. They're so petty. They're so they're socially immature. I mean, they're not right in the head. These people that get up there, of course they want to control you because they think you need to be controlled. It's projection because they need to be controlled. You know, it's just the way they think. Well, we got the links up there, and I got the video. You go to today, right now, you go up to the top of Freedom's Phoenix, and you see the afternoon show link in there, and we have the video from Searchlight. We have the link to mybillofrights.org, and we have the tar and feathering of the photo radar van. Oh, I didn't do it, man. I swear everybody know I didn't do it. Of course, I'll promote the crap out of it, but I didn't do it, all right? So don't blame me. Well, there's a lot of other stories that's going on today in addition to, you know, this national ID thing, that's just, ugh. But I tell you one of the big stories that we're working on now. I'm going to really get, I've been waiting on this, trying to get somebody to come out, and they finally broke it. A guy named Andrew McGuire is a gold trader. You know, he's in the market, commodities market back and forth, ouch, quit it. And they're saying, there's not gold and silver manipulation. No, no, no. If there were, you could never keep this down, and eventually somebody would talk. There would be somebody that would come out. Somebody would whistleblow. Somebody would out him. Well, somebody has. Yeah. This is what's coming. They got a gentleman that's ready to tell all. Well, he did. So what are they doing now? Well, there was a meeting they had, and they found out that all the gold commodities that's being traded out there is really derivatives. It's not the actual physical gold. And there's a bunch of people that are going to say, we want to take delivery. Then what happens? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll talk some more about that when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We're getting David come in. You know, one of the guys, I got the number of some of these guys. I know that they're always down here making signs and doing the camera fraud stuff. And a lot of the guys will come down here and they'll make some stuff. And they'll go out there, sign waves on the overpasses and that kind of thing. And I just know he knows something about it. I mean, we need to know something about it. So is David there? Do I got you, David? Did you call in yet?
How's it going, Ernie?
David, you're killing me, man. What I was looking at this. I was posting up submitted stories up to the front page, and I saw, is this Arizona that this was done, right?
Well, it looks like it was Arizona from what it looks like, although the company Redflex uses these vans in other states. It does look like this one was done in Arizona.
It looks like it was. Well, how did this get on camerafraud.com's website?
Well, just like so-called established lamestream media, the media that's so last century, we receive tips from our viewers, and we have people that send stuff in to us. And since we don't have the overhead baggage of having to verify, you know, every little detail of every story, we can post it up and let the people decide whether or not something is worth their time. So, you know, that way it's the discourse of the public gets to judge the news story instead of the editor cutting stuff and having it fall in the scrap.
Hey, I know how it is, man. I just put it out there, and, you know, if the government wants to come seize it, yeah, but here it is. Or there, it's up there, you know, not go get them, man. There, but this is, it was unmanned, it looks like. And did they give you any information of what the material was that they threw on there?
No idea. The only thing that we know is basically what we received was a link that pointed to a YouTube video. So everything that we have is speculative, just like everybody else. But the video describes it as a Phoenix Speed fan, tarred and feathered. So I'm assuming tar.
You know, the thing was, remember when they said that if you're putting the sticky notes and stuff up and everything, that wasn't vandalism because it could just be taken off. If this is, you know, it's molasses or something, you just, you know, rinse it off with water, or maybe there's not even a crime here.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the question for me that comes into play is, you know, is this a form of, did someone initiate force against the private property of this company? And the question is that force, would it be justified? I mean, after all, the van, some could argue that the van is out there initiating force against drivers, you know, surveilling and monitoring. So that's really kind of gets into the area of, you know, if this is true, is this the right way to go about it? And I'm sure that there's people that could argue on both sides of that.
Well, you know, what do I see here? Now, check this out. has 302 views, and it was put up 4 hours ago. And it's got five-star ratings. It's got a bunch of comments, blah, blah, blah. And it's put up by How a Patriot Should Act. Okay, that's the name of the channel, I guess. So let's see, what else we got? How a Patriot Should Act. Let's click on them. And that's it. How many videos they got up? I think this is it. They just got one video? You can track these, I would think. I mean, you almost have to have a DNA sample to open up a YouTube account now. So you have to have an email, I guess. And aren't you kind of computer geeky?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, aren't you one of those guys? I mean, could you track, somebody like this?
Well, I mean, you, just like a good private investigator will tell you, you can track anybody or anything you want as long as you've got the money behind it. I mean, you can.
Well, you're going
anybody
up against the unlimited resources of, man. They got the money. Now, here it comes.
Right. You got the unlimited resources of. They can track this down. Like, let's say it was posted by some guy who thought he was being shrewd and maybe pulled into a parking lot of a Starbucks and used their free Wi-Fi. Well, I mean, if they got the unlimited resources, they can, not only subpoena the Starbucks Wi-Fi records and everybody's records who happen to also be there at the same time, but also keep proceeding along with the investigation. If they don't get what they want, they could subpoena the cameras for the front parking lot. I mean, again, it just depends on how much money they want to try to track this person or person.
No, keep doing it. No, want to. they have it because I think, you're probably a guy to ask this. When you use your computer, I have, a bunch of computers. I got computers. My wife's got computers. My kids got computers. I got laptops. I got PCs. I got, all over the place. And each one of those computers, when I upload something, doesn't it take some kind of information on the serial number, the hard drive or something of that computer?
Not that detailed, but there is at least a handshake in terms of the, not to get too technical, there's the IP address, and that's just like a telephone number. So anytime data is exchanged over that connection, just like when you make a phone call, a number is exchanged so it knows where to send the information to and from. So, there's always going to be a way to trace it or track something down. Whether or not you can track it down to the person, that's where things get interesting. Because, let's say you track it down to the person and says, yeah, I posted it. I posted it up online.
And
but
I
didn't. They might say I didn't do it or I wasn't there. I just had the video. So then
I'm as interested in their effort to track this as the video. Well, I tell you, how is camera fraud effort going? Tell us about it.
From what I hear, it's going pretty well. I haven't been very active in it lately, but I keep an eye on things, and I actually saw this went up today, and this is definitely a big blip on the radar. This is just a huge, this is a pretty big event. We see stuff like this happen in Europe and Italy and even Australia, where the cameras are attacked directly quite often, almost on a weekly basis. And to see it happen here it's definitely a step down the line of progression. It's proceeding.
Yeah, no, because we've been tracking this for years, ever since, the end of 2005 when Freedoms Phoenix started going online. We, 6 months, we were, playing at getting everything all set and everything, accumulating stuff and organizing it, and then really announced it, I think, October of 2005. Then was when we started seeing a lot of this kind of stuff in Great Britain. They were putting tires around them and burning them. And I'm going, ooh, and there was a progression. It went through the same thing that we had here. Private companies go in, they're doing all this stuff, making the money, they're shaking down people, they're being all police state-y and so on, and people tried to do the process, and it was corrupt, and and finally, all of a sudden, they start burning them. So this is a very creative thing to do. And I'm thinking, I'm going, wow, this is the ruling that we have from Phoenix Police that it wasn't a crime to put those sticky notes in front so the cameras wouldn't work. I don't know. It almost kind of applies here. Put a hose to it. So unless it's really tar. So I don't know. But this is creative. Well, when is the deadline to turn in petitions for the initiative is July or something, right?
It's going up pretty fast. I'm not really too active in the signature gathering process, but yeah, there is a statewide ballot initiative. 163,000 signatures are required by a deadline to make it to the November ballot. But, thing is, too, you can vote something out over and over again or vote something in over and over again. The powers to be seem to do whatever they want. So
This is a good realization for younger Americans. And you're in your 20s, aren't you? Early 30s?
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, you're getting an education, are you not?
Every single day, to the point where, you know, it's almost a matter of having to restrict my own reading of Freedom's Phoenix, because it's just like, enough is enough. I mean, it's every single day. It's definitely not getting better. I mean, if there was a linear line drawn and on one end there's liberty, on one end there's tyranny, I don't think anybody would argue with what direction down that line we're going. I mean, it's very hard to dispute that fact, and I don't think very many people would dispute that fact.
You know what happens, though, throughout history when it gets really, 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 really bad is when you have really, really, really big change. But yeah, I don't think we're there yet. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. When we come back in the next segment, you know, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about is that baby boomers are becoming one of the highest percentages of homeless people. You know, they had everything that they had and saved up just gone because they trusted the system. You know, I started looking at it after I was talking to my parents, a lot of stuff they're going through, and I'm like, wow, this is going to be a major social problem. Hey, David, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence just a little bit.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free.
God knows. Oh. I want to break free, and the only way I know how to do that is, you know, we all just do it together. And then you got to know, break free from what? I don't know. You know, from those that don't want us to be free. I mean, you know, it's like David said, it's so overwhelming. You know, it wasn't until probably about a year ago, maybe even less than that, that my wife, she didn't really spend a lot of time on Freedom's Phoenix. I mean, she'd look at it and see and stuff. Yeah, that's interesting. She's busy. And then I started asking her to help me and posting it. I got really busy with a lot of stuff. And I go, look, I'll send you an email with some of the stuff that I see that, you know, if I had the time, I would put it up. But, you know, I really need to get this stuff up there. Now, would you do that for me? Yeah, sure. You know, you do 10 entries a day, you know, take her, you know, a half hour or so, and she'll take them, put them up. So that's why you see a lot of Donna up there sometimes. And then, of course, I got her interested. Then she likes finding the graphics to go with it. And she starts getting good at it. And she sees stuff. Now she knows how to do it. And she would, boom. And now she spends probably, I don't know, at least a couple hours a day on Freedom's Phoenix. She just, you know, sits down in her little massage chair with her laptop at night, and I go in and check my stuff. I come out, she's in there just surfing around all over the place, learning. It's just expanding her mind and awareness of what's going on. See, I never force this stuff on my family and kids and everything. I just, you know, ask that they allow me to, you know, do what I need to do, and then we'll kind of have the family life. Well, now as my kids get older and she's getting more involved, all of a sudden they're starting to, I'm like, hey, you know, I don't want to talk about politics. I'm home. But, you know, this stuff is just, you have to just make fun of it and the jokes. And nobody does that better than libertarians. They're just like, of course we've known this. Now you're just figuring this out. What do you think we've been screaming about all this time? So we are able to comprehend it, you know, and just, you know, put it in its place. It's just a continuation of stuff that we've known for a long time, like... You have the CFTC. Now, what that stands for is commodities future trading something. You know, it's a commodities guys. You know, these are the regulators for the people that going out there and doing gold trading and silver and some other commodities. So the CFTC, let me go ahead just so I know what I'm talking about here. What does it stand for? It stands for Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so the Commodity Futures Trading Commission gets a letter from one of the traders, a guy named Andrew McGuire, and he goes on with this. Adrian Douglas, I guess, is helping him out this. And they discuss, you know, on an MP3 what could be the largest fraud in history. And we put the link to it up there. You know, one of my writers put this up, and a reporter, you know, someone, I don't even know who she is. She goes to Freedom's Phoenix and says, hey, man, Yeah, well, this is definitely the kind of place to put this stuff up. Yes, it is. Andrew is an independent metals trader turned whistleblower at the center of a storm for exposing what could be the largest fraud in history involving countries, banks, and government leaders. Adrian Douglas, board of director from GATA, whatever that is, the man who Andrew reached out to joins in this interview where they discuss a fraud so extraordinary and so unimaginable that it is the kind of thing that only happens in Hollywood thrillers. They also discussed a CFTC-sponsored meeting on metals, which was an unmitigated disaster because it additionally exposed the fraud on a grander scale. Well, this was a recent meeting they had. I think it was just like this last weekend. And it wasn't too long ago. And what they found out is that when you're doing the futures trading, and I explain it like with corn, you're not really buying the corn now that's right there. You're buying what you anticipate the future of the corn is going to be valued at when it's harvested the next spring or something. I mean, you got April corn, you know, or March gold, you know, that kind of thing. It's a commodity because the gold, it could be still be in the ground. You know, hey. You know, I'm not going to go mine it unless I got a contract for it. Somebody's going to pay whatever I go. And then, you know, if it's not enough, I might not go get it, you know. So I got, 1,100, I will go get it. So this is kind of how commodities work. And then all of a sudden you'll have a freeze in Florida. And you got futures on oranges and you got a freeze. All of a sudden you don't have as much. Well, that commodity that you bought at, you know, a dollar of whatever is now could be worth $2. Well, you just made some bank. Yeehaw, bought a dollar, sold it too when it actually came in and they took delivery. They took possession because sooner or later somebody wants it. Well, in gold and silver, a lot of times those futures, because it's not something that's perishable like food, you know, it just gets rolled over. They just put it into another contract for a future. And the ability to do that means it's not like corn. I mean, you can't keep, put it in the silo for 20 years. I mean, you know, you actually got to take delivery sometime. So what they've done with gold and silver is when they roll it over and roll it over and roll it over, they keep, you know, selling gold. It's not really there. Well, this is what they've been saying. You know, some people come in and they'll short the market, and all of a sudden it's at, you know, 1150, 1120, 1130, and all of a sudden, boom, it dumps down to, you know, 1,090 or something. You know, why? I don't know, because they can. They sell it short, they make money on it going down. Then, you know, they come in and, you know, buy it long, and they make money on it going up. I mean, you know, it's because they can. Because they can. Well, they're supposed to keep it where they're not. I mean, they're not trading fictitious stuff, but what happens when you're able to turn gold into paper? Well, where does it stop? What's the line? How do you know? Well, now you got derivatives, and that's what this meeting kind of came out. They go, you know, gold's really leveraged about 100 to 1. 1% real gold is what is holding up the price or down the price of all of the trading on gold. What happens when somebody wants delivery? Now, we started seeing this. It was probably 2.5 years ago. Dubai came in, and the United Arab Emirates had their own commodities trading thing. And I remember we were tracking, because I've been looking for this. I go, sooner or later, people are going to start wanting to take actual delivery of this stuff, and then we're going to find out what's what. Well, as soon as Dubai opened, there was somebody came in with $200 billion of gold. They bought the contracts, and they go, okay, we'll take delivery. They're going, really? You sure you don't want to roll it over? Nope, delivery. So that became news. I started paying attention. Here recently, in the last few months, they went to London. There was a group. I don't remember. It's on Freedom's Phoenix. But the crux of the story was they went in and said, "Okay, we want delivery," and they couldn't. They didn't have it. They had to go buy it on the market, and it went up. You know, it would be astronomical for them to go out and just try and buy all this gold, and they'd have to pay whatever they got to pay to make the contract. So what'd they do? They tried to offer them more cash. They go, look, we'll pay you even more than it's worth right now for us to go get it, because it'll drive it up, and it'll cause all kinds of, you know, problems for them. I mean, the price of gold would start skyrocketing. So they go, look, we'll just give you more money. We'll give you an extra 10%. No, want the gold. It's all good. Ooh, what a tangled web we weave. So now we're in a situation where they have this meeting. They start, you know, let's get the truth out. And people are just, you know, banging on tables and we got it and you got it. And you have these regulatory agencies around the world. And the U.S. is the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Well, this guy, Andrew, is writing letters to them. He's sending them letters. Dear Mr. Ramirez, which is the, you know, whippy guys in the CFTC, I thought you might be interested in looking into the silver trading today. And then, you know, he's going on about silver this time. And he shows, he's like, look, you know, this, and all stuff that, you know, I don't understand anyway, other than the math in the end comes down to this. When somebody comes in and to cover all these guys' shorts, instead of rolling them back over and them just going trading back and forth and who made some money when it goes down and up and all that, somebody is going to come in with enough money, say somebody that wants to get rid of their dollars, somebody that may like be like, oh, maybe China, okay? Now, what happened with India? 200 metric tons of gold, the International Monetary Fund, which I didn't know they had gold. They come out and said, yeah, we're going to put this out. Because I remember the dry price is down. Whenever it starts getting up a little bit, they threaten that they're going to sell. They're going to flood the market with gold. We're just going to sell gold without Curia. So always threaten. I always threaten. We threaten. Bank of London, we threaten. Bank of England, we threaten. I'm going, really? Well, I don't want to talk about it. Just do it. And you never hear about them doing it until the IMF did it. They came out 200 metric tons. They said, okay, we're out for sale. India, boom, immediately bought it all. Said, thank you. I wonder where we're going to get that. And they went, whoa. And then the price went up, not down. It went up. Why? Because that was like, it was the actual physical gold. It just took it out. I mean, heck, it took it out. The underlying derivatives and everything were based on a lot of this stuff. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. We got some issues here. So now what happens when someone like China, get rid of dollars, which is what India did, comes in and matches all their shorts. And I want to take delivery. And they got a fraction of what gold they got contracts is really in existence. What happens then? I don't know, but we're going to find out real soon.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Open up your mind and let me step inside. Rest your weary head and let your heart decide. It's so easy when you know.
Inside your head, it's okay, we can do it. And who's the game player? I tell you a little bit of story here, and it's just coming up on Freedom's Phoenix. This is stuff, and I could just read Freedom's Phoenix to you all day, every day, you know, but I'd rather talk about the activism stuff, and we'll get some guests in here, an expert on a lot of the national stuff and everything. But I mean, you know, you want to know what's going on, just go to Freedom's Phoenix, man. It's a deluge. It's like, I was like, oh, make it stop. I get it, you know. Well, it's a lot of people newly, they don't get it, they don't know. Then they think that there's some stuff that they want to share. I welcome them to do that. You know, I need to know. Well, this is what happened. Last year, there was Motorhome Diaries, which was there were some guys, they were associated with a thing called Bureaucrash. And what they were really looking at, they were a Washington, D.C. outfit. They were young interns and guys that were, you know, all about understanding bureaucracy and how things worked. And they were, you know, sharing their information. It's a long story. But after the Ron Paul Revolution thing, they started hooking up with all these people on Facebook around the country. They're in their 20s. They're young guys. You know, Lola, Ladies of Liberty Alliance, some of those girls there, you know, are dating the guys in Motorhome Diaries stuff. And it's just like a community thing. I go to the Liberty Forum in New Hampshire for the Free State Project there. A lot of these guys are there, and it's just, you know, it's a big party. Well, when they had the Motorhome Diary motorhome, they call MARV, okay, and it stands for mobile, whatever the heck it is, I can't remember. They call it MARV. So MARV, the motorhome, they go up to the border, and they had all kinds. They're videotaping the Canadian guy. They didn't like that, and they're there all day. I mean, it was, you know, anal probes, and you're going through all the exhaust pipes of the. I mean, it's they're getting for it. So what happened is we had them online. We called them, and I think while it was going on, we were talking to some of the guys and everything, what was happening and everything. Well, in that area, there is a story to where a guy, there's a small town right there to where literally the border between Canada and the United States runs through the town. I mean, there's a street and there's like a line. You know, here's the border. Well, they're just, you know, in a post 9/11 world, you can't go across and this and that. And wow, seriously? So this is, you know, neighbors, I've seen this happen on the border in Mexico. It's like Naco, Arizona, Naco, Mexico. It's like, you know, I'm in Mexico, I'm in the U.S., I'm in Mexico, I'm in the U.S. It's just a game that they play. It's all just lies. They just want to use this to do whatever the heck it is. There's not, anyway, doesn't matter. So here you have this becomes a big issue about, you know, free this guy and Eve. Well, what happens? The station manager or owner of the television station there, he sees this as an opportunity for him to come up and he's going to say something. What's he going to say about this? Well, you know, he does a little story. It's only a minute, so we'll listen. And I'll start playing. Come on. I'll just keep. There it goes.
Derby Line sits right on the Canadian-Vermont border. In fact, the border runs right through the library. As you can guess, it used to be pretty easy to cross. Want a pizza? Just walk across the street. Not now. Unfortunately, our world has changed. In a post-9/11 world, the harsh reality is that we just can't do everything the way we used to, the way we'd like. Roland Buzz Roy found that out a while back. He did that cross-the-street-for-pizza thing and got arrested. We're sorry. Wish it hadn't happened. We understand some Derby Line residents are pretty hacked off about the arrest. Roland Buzz Roy is, too. But they need to understand it's a different world, and they, like all the rest of us, need to adjust to reality. If that means checking into a border station or taking a different street, well, that's the price of security. And it's not too steep a price for pizza either. That's our opinion. What's yours?
My opinion is you're full of it. You know, there's a pizza that literally, they're showing pictures, it's across the street. You know, it's just, you got the U.S.-Canadian border little monument thing right there on the street corner. You know, come on. This is insanity. You know, but, you know, it's immigration. I call BS on it. It's not about that. I mean, if it was, you know, they'd have a Berlin Wall in this place a long time ago. You know, but I just, wow. You know, this is all going to come out. I tell you who's going to do it, though. It's going to be the young. It's going to be these young guys. These kids, they see the hypocrisy of this stuff. That's one thing they can, you know, I will spit you out. Pew. It's a Christ thing. You know, Jesus is like, man, don't even start with this hypocrisy thing. Don't even. That's the only time I think in the Bible that, other than money changers and flipping over tables, that he showed actual anger for someone other than the church. You know, they were doing whatever. I mean, he showed anger towards people. It was hypocrites. Hypocrites, man, he hated hypocrites. And I tell you, these young activists, they hate hypocrisy. That mean, you want to get them all worked up, you know, just be a hypocrite, man. They got something for you. So, okay, so what are we looking forward? We got the manipulation of the gold and silver market. That you have a small, itty-bitty little, you know, grain of real gold that's backing up all this trade. You think you had a problem with real estate and derivatives? What, you think they didn't do it with gold? Heck, it was easier. You know, what? You gotta do a property rights thing. You gotta do a filing of who the mortgage gets sent to for the county recorder's office to get the. No, it's just a number. It's a bank account. It's an accounting number that says this contract goes with that. And it's not really a contract for the physical gold. It's a contract with a derivative that is based on the gold that might kind of sort of almost probably be there. The entire country is going to go down with this. This is, you know, they're playing games. They're keeping it down as low as they can. You know, I keep telling people, you know, get out of the stock market, buy silver. Well, you're an idiot when you tell them that at 8,800 and it goes up to, you know, 2,000 points, you know, and then silver kind of stays the same at 17. I mean, drops down in the 16s or something. That doesn't mean I go buy more. So I'm going, all right. You know, when's the timing on that? I don't know. But it's math. They'll do it as long as they can get away with it until they can't. And guess what? They're going to be on the upside of this stuff. They're going to be start taking, you know, possession of actual physical gold. Well, they have. We saw a story a couple of days ago. We talked about it on Monday, I think, didn't we? They had the most gold on hand in reserve now, the central banks, than they've ever had since 1964. Why? They know something we don't. I thought there was green shoots. Green shoots. Yes, the economy's bouncing back. Everything's okay. Is it? Yeah, I don't think so. So you got a lot of good stuff to go on Freedom's Phoenix now. Today is, we have national ID and how it's being done coming out of Arizona. You got people tar and feathering photo radar bands. You got the guys that are starting to out and challenge the manipulation of gold and silver. You have the searchlight video where Arizona and Nevada activists went and did some video. I give you just kind of an idea of, I just put it together, what my wife had real quick, and kind of, you know, it's a pretty good little video. It's only like 7 minutes, but it gives you a really good on the street idea of what really happened. They have Arizonans right now, and this, I'm sure it's going on around the country. Arizonans each need to cough up $8,300 to cover state employees' pensions. Arizona's three pension funds for government employees have predicted they will pay more in benefits to retirees over the next three decades than they will collect. But the shortfall could be five times larger than the pension funds have previously reported. So let's put it this way. What they already have entitlements to, you know, they're supposed to be paying out and everything, they know they're going to need five times more than what they got to pay. Where does that come from as everything starts to take a dump? See, I remember talking about, you may have heard this before, it's a big thing in the Patriot community talking about CAFRA. CAFRA is the off-budget books that a state has, municipalities have. What they do is they have all these monies that go in, and usually it's for pension funds for state workers, and they take and they invest it into the stock market in the form of Lord knows what. You know, a lot of this subprime real estate stuff was pension funds from places like Southern California. I'm sorry, you need tens of billions of dollars? Hey, I got it right. Yeah, in this pocket. Here it is. You know, give me my green fees and escort services and whatever, and I'll sign. I mean, it usually comes down to one person or a group of people or where it usher this kind of stuff through, just like we got Russell Pierce doing this national ID thing. There's always somebody that they get to be quarterback for this kind of stuff. And they don't get lightweights. They don't get, you know, pansies. They get, you know, the strong-willed person ready to pound fist and do whatever it takes to do this. They take, and a lot of times they have, you know, a facade of a reputation that they use to do whatever. Well, of course, when you got billions of dollars or millions of people's IDs, you have a big incentive. They take that money. They put it in there. They lost it. What they used to say with the CAFRA was that, and I had the state treasurer for Arizona, Carol Springer, on the show before, and we talked about it, and she goes, yeah, there's an enormous amount of money out there because they only showed on the books of what they paid for it, what the money they put into the stock market, and then it went up a lot over the years and decades. They have enormous amounts of money and value there. Well, why do they go and rip off these pensions? Why do they go and take that value? Why do they go and convert money that was in something else, probably more stable, into subprimes and stuff like that? Why would they do that? Because they can. That's how they got the money. That's how they stole it. So all this now that we used to have all this extra money, now we got to come up with another, every Arizona's got to come up with $8,300 each just to cover the future obligations to the state employees' retirement. Or not. I'm like, maybe not. We'll see how it works out. Talk to you tomorrow.